Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Has anyone got anyone in your life that you've just been praying for to come to know Jesus? Anyone, you got somebody in your life? Really? There's five? Okay, great. There's people over here, absolutely. Well, there should be, right? There should be people in our lives. And, you know, who knows that can take some time. You know, I was blessed to have a dinner with a guy this week. It's been 10 years. 10 years. And, you know, most of that has just been text messages when God lays him on my heart, that I just send a text message, word of encouragement, or just, this guy's got no church. He was raised to hate the church, basically. That's another story. But so when I send kind of chapter verse stuff to him and stuff, he has no idea what I'm talking about. It could be something out of, you know, the footy manual or the whatever, tipping guide, whatever. But I have to explain what it is and his Bible, whatever. And just over the years, and then to sit down and have a dinner with him this week, it was nothing short of, like, I was actually caught by surprise just to how open. Can I just remind us tonight that people are more open than what I think we realize they are? And just be praying. If you start to pray, God will open the opportunity. If you start to pray, your senses will be heightened because you're praying, so you're conscious about it, but your spiritual senses will be alert to what's going on and you'll be more perceptive to the opportunities that are presenting themselves. So can I encourage you tonight? This guy's, he's not over the line yet. He was very much like, well, where do I get started with this whole thing, Phil? And I'm not going to go into his story, but you know, if you can achieve everything that you can in your sphere, he's done that and some. And to get to that point and say that I've got all of everything and it's just empty. And all the stuff I'm trying right now is making me feel worse. You know, it's a phenomenal thing. And so, you know, don't give up. Don't give up on just unconditionally just loving people. Can I just say, if you invite someone to church and they say no, don't stop communicating with them. It does my head and it flipping annoys the hell out of me how there's these Christians that do all they can to get someone to church. Somebody says no, and then we don't follow them up anymore. That just bugs me. It's one of my little personal bugbears. So I got all these people in my life when I was a personal trainer, and this guy was one of them from 10 years ago that just I just say, God, what do you want me to send? What do you want me to say? Let's not write people off because they don't walk into this place. It's not all about the church, right? It's all about Jesus. It's all about them coming into their life-changing relationship with Jesus. And then church from that should be a place where... Anyway, let's go to where we're supposed to be tonight. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But if you're visiting with us and you haven't heard the last couple of weeks, we've started a new series called Why the Wait, which came out of a different series called There Is More. And it's great to hear all the rah-rah and get pumped up and hear the promises of God, but more often than not, there is a time difference between when we start to grasp, believe, and receive what God has said to us and the time which it materializes and comes to pass. So more often than not, there is a gap. So coming out of that series, I have to say, I wish I'd thought of it that way, but I didn't. I'm not that smart, but as we're going into it, I can see, oh God, now I can see how you've dovetailed this together. That's pretty cool. And just sort of just starting to go into this, why the wait? So week one, we're taking a look at Habakkuk chapter 2, and there are some, the first verse, we got through the first verse in week one, and as you can see there in verse one, two things that came out of that is that we hold to the belief, the unwavering view and belief that God wants to, he does, and will continue to speak to us. He wants to speak to all of us. There are no exceptions in that. God doesn't just speak to the pastor and everyone has to come through the pastor to get through God. That's Jesus is our high priest. And so we can go straight to the Father and he wants to speak to you. And so we're talking about to hear God's voice, we need to be positioned as you are tonight, which is great. But then also when we are together, we should be present. And that should really translate into every area of life, right? When we're in conversations, when we're talking with people, we should be present in the moment and giving them our full and undivided attention as I have yours right now, which is great. And then last week, Michael and I, we actually tag-teamed on the verse 2 and 3, and we looked at some things out of verse 2, the power of writing things down, the importance of that. And then we started to look at verse 3, which is, for it is for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it. Everybody say, wait. Who likes waiting? No. You're normal. Wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. It will come to pass. And last week we started to look at God's sense of timing and our sense of timing are often not the same. Kind of like, not the same. And so we have this understanding of time in terms of quantitative, as in hours, minutes, seconds, years, decades, etc., which is the chronos, and the Greeks have a word called chronos. But the Greeks also have another word for time called kairos, which is more about the moment. That there is a designated moment, that God wants us to have moments with him, or it's about the now. And how many nows are there in a minute? Well, you can argue that amongst yourselves, but trying to get that concept, it's qualitative, it's an opportunity, it's a moment that God has for us. And then we went through some things that we should be aware of when it comes to that waiting period of from when a prayer is uttered or God places something we believe in our hearts and to the time that it materializes or comes to pass. There is a chronos, there is a time difference between that, but there also God wants us to have kairos moments along the way that we need to be aware and looking for and sensitive to. And so we looked at four things last week that waiting period reveals where our heart is at. It transforms our character. Don't we just love it when people say, you know, what you're going through is character building? Yeah, get stuffed. I don't want to go through it. Character's fine. Well, obviously not. Wouldn't have to go through it. But it's about the journey. It's not about the destination. All those annoying sort of things. But it's true. Don't forget, in the waiting period, it's about people. If you're frustrated right now and things seem like they're being delayed and not shifting or changing, maybe your focus, your attention, your priority is wrong. Maybe God is actually wanting to highlight to you some of the people that are in your world that he doesn't want you to move out of their world yet, because it's about the person, it's not about the job. Worth thinking about. And the last one we looked at was we either run from God or we run to God in the waiting period. So that's kind of what we covered last week. And tonight's message is going to kind of like there'll be a little bit of overlap from last week. So I want to take a look at a little bit more about this waiting period that it talks about in verse 3 there, that we're called to wait. But also want to try to just, if time permits, just touch on kind of the possibility that what God has said just doesn't happen. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but can sometimes be convinced or sure or certain that God has said something or we're believing for something and it just doesn't happen. What do we do in those situations? But I think, you know, getting back to this whole waiting period, though, it's like, you know, we're part of an instant generation. Everything is being designed and produced and manufactured to make things more efficient, make things more time efficient, to so that things can be done more quickly. And like I just asked you just now, who likes to wait? There's very few of us in this room that are comfortable with waiting. But when it comes to our spiritual life, I don't think there's too much difference between the realities of the life in which we live in and our spiritual life. That a lot of us maybe in this room, we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed some more. We prayed over, we prayed, we fasted, we prayed. Maybe we've had other people praying with us, for us at different times for something that we're believing for God. And we've got hungry hearts to hear from God and we're believing that God's going to come through. And there was a point of time that maybe kind of like you had that moment where you really sensed where your heart, your spirit leapt because you felt as if God spoke into your spirit that something was going to happen, something that you were desperately wanting to hear. God deposits something into your heart about, and then suddenly from that moment on, you've got to just start this process possibly of waiting, and that may be for a short time or it may be for a long time. So just piggybacking over on off of last week, some other things, but different things that we need to be aware of in the waiting period that I've found in my life is that, first of all, I think we need to, because we're human beings, that God has created us emotional beings with feelings. We have to own our thoughts, we have to own our own feelings, and we have to own those requests that we put before God. In that, we shouldn't be timid or shy. It's going, you know what, if I've got this heart's desire and I believe it does line up with God's word and I believe it's in keeping with his direction that he's leading me in my life, that I shouldn't be ashamed, I shouldn't shy back from that. I should be free to come before God and say, God, you know, I'm believing for this. I don't think it's selfish intent. I don't think it's a want. I believe it's something that is needed in my life for me to fulfill my purpose on this planet. We shouldn't shy away from that. We should own those thoughts and feelings and take them to God and be specific in our request to him. I think we shouldn't shy away from telling God how much maybe we desire those things and be honest with ourselves about that instead of possibly being a little bit timid, because the reality is God does know how we feel. He knows what we think. And so I think he actually, like any father, and I love the conversations I have with my daughters and things, and one of my daughter's friends came over the other night, and we haven't seen her for a while, and it was almost like, you know, you just, I didn't think she took a breath for 30 minutes. It was just jabber, 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 just, she was on for a chat, and there's stuff going on at home, but, you know, mum and dad are separated and stuff, and just coming and sitting in our house, she just loves it, but she was just, I couldn't even get a question in. She was just, I just loved having this conversation, and, you know, Ruby's jumping in, and April's, no, I just, you just love having those conversations, and our Heavenly Father's the same. He loves it when we just kind of like verbal diarrhea, blah, 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 blah. You know, just sharing our hearts and what. So we need to own those things, but just as much as we need to own them, we need to put our own feelings aside when it comes to the things of God. Let me clarify that. Now, this is really hard to do because we're emotional beings. Some of us in the room are more emotional than others. Not pointing at anybody, but some of us are like a little bit more expressive or have kind of like more feelings than others in the room, and some of us maybe need to get in touch with our feelings in the room. But what I'm saying is that we need to, yes, we need to bring all of that to God, but at the same time, we need to go, as much as possible, God, I put what I want aside, I put my feelings aside, I put my thoughts aside, I put my desires aside, and I pray that your will be done, not mine. Does that make sense? No. Yes. So I think we need to express that to God in the waiting, but at the same time, we need to come to him and say, Heavenly Father, I pray that I would not be guided by or ruled by my feelings, but Heavenly Father, I can come before you and continue to seek your direction. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." So it's great to bring all of that to God, but at the same time, we've got to be able to be big enough people in and of ourselves to say, Heavenly Father, it's not about me trying to impose my will on your will, but it's about me submitting to your will and saying, Heavenly Father, I just lay all of that aside so that your will can be done. And I think the hard part in all of this is asking ourselves, especially when it comes to when we've felt like we've actually heard from God, is actually being honest with ourselves to go, what is my motivation for wanting this prayer answered? And there's only one person that can answer it. Well, God and you, if you're willing to be honest with yourself and even asking God to reveal that to you. So we need to own our feelings, but we need to also submit and surrender all of that to him so that his will can be done in the waiting. What about this one in the waiting? Number three, be willing to listen. Be willing to listen, really listen in the waiting. You know, this is really hard when we're really convinced with ourselves that we've actually heard from God in the first place, to be willing to kind of like just keep walking and keep going, okay, God, I want your continued guidance. I want your continued direction. That Heavenly Father, I've set off in this direction. But there may be a possibility that I'm heading off in slightly the wrong direction. And we all know that if we take off at 2 or 3 degrees, kind of like in the wrong direction here, but like 30, 40 kilometers down the track, we're going to be a long way away from where our destination is. Does that make sense? So even in the midst of hearing from God, we need to still be willing to actually listen and really listen. And so once again, it's not trying to actually get God's will to conform to my desires, but it's actually about me submitting my spirit and saying, Heavenly Father, I'm submitted to your will. Guide and lead me as I continue to walk and as I continue to wait. Now, this is really hard because when we're convinced that God's spoken to us, to actually kind of open up and allow God to speak into our spirits and our hearts is not an easy thing to do. But can I encourage you, along your journey, along your way, you've got to have people that you can actually talk to and that you give permission to speak into your life. Godly men and women of faith who love God more than they love you, and they love you enough to be able to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. See, a lot of people surround themselves with, you can call them yes people, surround themselves with people who will just continue to tell them what they want to hear. When in fact, that's not what we need. We need people that will actually tell us, hey, hang on a sec, let's just talk about that. Let's pray about that together. What is God saying in that? Because Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Same sentiment is reinforced in Proverbs 11. It says there, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but with many counselors comes deliverance. So we know the scriptures actually reinforce this idea that we should have godly people around us. And in the waiting, as part of our listening, maybe that God has put people around you, men and women of faith around you, that they can speak godly wisdom into you, to speak words of encouragement, to help you stay the course. Or maybe if you're starting to kind of go off course a little bit, they love you enough to bring a little bit of correction in there so they actually stay on course. Does that make sense? So I encourage you to make sure you've got those people in your life. I'm blessed. I've got two or three people that I go to and I can speak to, godly men and women that will actually love God more than they love me. But, you know, we don't always enjoy those conversations, do we? No. But can I just say that if you go to seek advice from somebody, don't start the conversation like this. Well, God said this is what was going to happen. So what do you think? It doesn't matter what I think, because you've come to me saying God said. So who am I to put myself above God? Now, if you come to me and say, hey, Phil, I was praying and I felt that, you know, like that God was speaking to me about this, and I kind of sense that God's leading me in this direction. What do you think about that? That's different to going, well, God said. It kind of shuts the door pretty quick, and it's a reflection on maybe where our heart's at. Now, in this process of the waiting, if we're willing to actually listen, Psalm 46 is a great example of this, because in Psalm 46, I mean, who's ever heard of the verse, "Be still and know that I am God"? Yep, you've heard that, right? Have you ever read the whole Psalm, Psalm 46? Because when you read the whole Psalm and you get the context of that Psalm, because sometimes in the waiting, it can feel like, you know, just nothing is going right. Why is it like this? It shouldn't be like this. I was expecting it to be different and it's not. All hell's broken loose and whatnot. And that's exactly what Psalm 46 is about. When you read Psalm 46, it talks about major chaos is going on around. There are challenges, there are attacks, there's enemies, there's a battle, there's some disasters going on all around. And then it actually says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and just begin to ponder and to begin to listen to God's voice in the midst of all of that. It's like putting your weapons down, stop the fighting, stop the chaos, get to a place where you can actually stop. But are you willing to listen? Are you willing to listen? Because so many people get so headstrong about their direction on which they're going that they'll just charge off like bullet a gate, and they kind of end up like, you know, a year, 2 years down the track, and they just wonder why this is not where I thought it was supposed to end up. Maybe we just need to listen along the journey. Number four, along the way, look for confirmation. If you're in a process of waiting, ask God for confirmation. If God says something to your heart in the first place, it's not about putting God to the test. But what I'm saying is that as you need to, you can actually ask God, I want you to confirm that what I've heard from you 6 months ago or 12 months ago. And God is so gracious in how he does that. You know, about 4 years ago, I went through like one of the 21-day prayer and fasting periods, and I just had to hear from God, because I had no doubt in my mind that when we started Compass, that this is what we were supposed to do. We got to the seven-year mark, and for a variety of different reasons, there was different things that this question started to kind of bounce around inside my head. So I went into a 21-day prayer and fasting time, and I just needed to hear from God. I said, God, I need you to speak to my heart. You need to reconfirm my call to pastor in Compass Church, or you need to give me the direction on where I need to go. So you need to reconfirm. I need confirmation, or I need fresh direction. Does anyone relate to that? So what happened in that is God dealt with me. We had conversations. I expressed a lot, and God dealt with me in such a beautiful, tough, loving, gentle, harsh way. I was angry, but I was elated. I was like, thank you, Jesus. I don't know, not happy about that, Jan, but like came to a place where through all of that, just asking God, and he began to speak and he began to make it clear, and he reconfirmed my call to this place in such a way that I have no shadow of doubt whether you like it or not. I don't care. I'm here for the long haul. So you can go, but I'm staying, right? And it was pretty much in that process did the reality of this phrase kind of like just, I live by this, and I challenge people to live by this. When you have the conviction of call, you lose the luxury of choice. When you have the conviction of call, you lose the luxury of choice. When you know that what you are doing is where God wants you to be, you could choose to go and do a whole bunch of things, but what are you called to do? And when you're living in that lane and you're walking, you're breathing, you're living in that lane, I lose the luxury of choice. I could go and do other things, but I can't because this is what God has called me to do. And I needed that confirmation in my life, and God is gracious and kind that he would do that for us. Number five, you might struggle with this one, but it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. In terms of hearing from, we think we can hear from God. We thought God has said this, but guess what? You're human, I'm human. The reality is there's things that I thought God has spoken to me about, but it was actually just Phil. When I got over myself, when I actually began to eat some humble pie and actually just start to really evaluate the decision-making process and how I came to that, it was just like, you know, using the kind of like the cliche of like God said, that makes everything right. And what are people going to say when God said? Like I said, look, what can people say? And so just want to challenge all the perfectionists in the room. That's a tough one. It's okay to actually admit that you got it wrong. You know, if it kind of like starts to look that way, don't get all worked up about it. It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you've done anything necessarily wrong, depending on kind of like what you're blaming God for in that decision-making process. But we all make mistakes. And God's grace is sufficient if we're willing to kind of like just go and own it. That's one of the things that I think I like about our church. When, you know, you are not going to hear us say that, actually we don't use the word awesome unless we're talking about God. But like, everything is not fantastic and everything is not just wonderful and great. There's stuff that we do that sucks. And there's stuff that we do that doesn't work. But let's just call it for what it is and go, it didn't work. Can we fix it? Can we do it better next time? No, well, not doing that again. Let's just call it for what it is. It's okay to actually acknowledge and own up that we get certain things wrong. And the thing is that that actually opens the way for God to actually deal with our hearts in a fresh way, because what that represents is that we're willing to actually stay humble in the process and go, God, I'm owning this, got it wrong. I just open my heart and I desire to hear your voice to be able to move forward. Number six, keep learning about him in the waiting. That kind of ties in that we run to God or from God. In that, just keep learning about him. You know, I don't think we can ever underestimate the power of just the daily grind of just day in, day out. The stuff that's not super sexy or super fantastic or doesn't get any kind of necessary attention. Not that that stuff matters anyway. But just the daily reading of our Bible and daily just praying and just allowing God to put line upon line and precept upon precept. And in your waiting period, it's a time of preparation for what he's got to do next. And if we don't properly prepare ourselves, then more than likely it's going to get stalled and stalled, which we'll come to in just a second. Number seven, this is one that I reckon we need to definitely be aware of in the waiting period. Know your weaknesses. Know your weaknesses in the waiting. You see, because when in the waiting, more often than not, is when we can get a little bit impatient, we can get a little bit impetuous, we can begin to try and take matters into our own hands and try to make things happen, and we can begin to take our eyes off Jesus and we start to put our eyes on the things that we want to actually see happen, and so we can easily get distracted. But there's a saying that idle hands make for idle minds. And so if we aren't aware of what our weaknesses are in the waiting, sometimes it can feel like that nothing is happening. Sometimes if we're not focused and we're not on point in terms of getting to know him, learning about him more, as I said, that sometimes those weaknesses can become stumbling blocks and pitfalls for us along the way. I mean, King David is a classic example of this. A guy that should have been out in battle, but what he does, he ends up on the rooftop when his men are out in battle, and he ends up looking across and sees Bathsheba. And we know the story from that point on is that that leads to actually adultery, it leads to deception, it leads to manipulation, it leads to murder, it leads to an abuse of power. A man that was supposed to actually be doing something in his role and function, he wasn't supposed to be sitting around and doing nothing, but when he was sitting around and not doing anything. Now, I'm not saying that we should always be on the go and that it's a works-based thing or anything like that, but we should actually, in the waiting, still be doing something. Waiting doesn't mean just sitting back and putting your feet up until something actually happens. There are still the daily disciplines and responsibilities. There are still the opportunities that we have to continue to serve and continue to do what we can with what God has given us in the waiting period, and letting God use that time to continue to hone and develop whatever skills that we've got until that actual gift materializes. I mean, some people kind of like, and you've maybe heard me say this, is some people say, you know, it's a when this happens, then I will do it. Or when I get my life together, then I'll actually start. That won't happen. Because what we were saying is basically when everything's perfect and when I'm perfect, then I'll start serving the Lord, or I'll start serving in some capacity. It's not going to happen. You just need to start get going now for where you're at. Are you hearing me? So just want to talk about this, knowing your weaknesses, for a second, because if you just reflect quickly on the Lord's Prayer, there's that line in it that kind of jumps out that says, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. The reality is that Jesus himself was tempted, but he did not sin. Every single one of us has something in our world that is a temptation. We need to know what our triggers are. We need to know what our weaknesses are. Because it's more often than not, in a period of waiting, do those things actually rear their ugly head. Especially when we start to get impatient and we start to try to take matters into our own hands. We start to walk in our own strength. So when we actually pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, it's actually kind of an acknowledgement, me saying, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you, Lord. In the waiting in my life on a daily basis, I need your strength. I need you to help me out. It says, lead us not into temptation, which kind of implies that God, we're asking God to guide us in a direction away from the temptation, away from our weaknesses, submitting our spirit to him so he can actually guide us where we need to go. And of course, when it comes to the waiting and being aware of our weaknesses and making sure that we are not led into temptation and asking God to help us in that, we certainly don't want to be responsible for leading anyone else into temptation either. Lastly, on this one, number 8. Again, keep trusting him. Keep trusting. He is faithful. You know, I think that one of the keys that we've got to remember is that when things are going well, that's not a time to take the foot off the gas in our own personal intimacy and devotion with Christ. Because there's things that we can actually consolidate and make sure are foundational and rock solid in our belief of who God is that is going to help us weather the storm. And so it's that ongoing disciplines that I'm talking about that we can actually can go, I know that I know that he is faithful. I know that based on what God has done in my life and he's done in me, through me and around me, that I know that doesn't matter what I go through, that he will never leave me, he'll never forsake me, that if I hold on to him, he's never going to let me go. He's going to provide me with everything that I need to see his purpose and plan fulfilled in and through my life. I know that, so it doesn't matter what I just got to continue to keep trusting him. And we know that beautiful verse, Philippians 1 verse 6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? All right, are you still with me? All right, I'm just going to finish off. There's just three points I've got when it actually comes to those times when we believe that God has spoken to us, but it looks as though it's not going to happen. Where the circumstance, I don't know if you've, or maybe you're in that right now, you've experienced that before. And I commend you on the fact that you're still here and you're still in a relationship with God, that you kind of like you haven't blamed God for that thing not coming to pass. For some of us in this room, it may be the fact that you really felt or sensed God speak to you about something. Maybe it was a relationship, but it didn't quite turn out how you'd thought. Maybe it was within an area of your health that you prayed and you sensed God was going to bring that breakthrough, but the cancer or the illness has actually returned, that maybe that God spoke and that job didn't come through the way that it did, or that business idea didn't quite go the way that it did. I remember that there was one of the guys that's in our church, one of our board members who's now in Indonesia, Sean, he's kind of like the cafe industry was his thing. And so we had this idea about launching World Vision Cafes around firstly Melbourne, and then we had a global plan and vision for that. And so we went through the process of meeting with the CEO of World Vision, Tim Costello at the time, and meeting with George Savvides, who was like, you know, part of the board. I'm not sure if he was the chairman of the board of Australia at that time. We got him to have a meeting of that and began to actually get this business idea around what we felt and believed would be a massive asset and revenue raiser for World Vision, because you'd be able to capture and a part of the market out there, people who don't sponsor a child, but through buying coffee and getting food from cafes and things like that, that they could actually, we could raise money for their ADPs, their area development projects. And so this thing was flying. I had a bunch of different companies that were willing to do all the design for it. They were willing to do the shop fit out stuff for free if we got this over the line, as long as we actually gave them the national contract if it was to go national. So we thought, this is fantastic. Wouldn't you think that there's a lot of things lining up in that, right? You know, we felt God spoke to us about that. We felt like it was in line with his word. And we thought, wow, like this is all coming together. But what we didn't foresee was the GFC. And then all of a sudden, NGOs are being hit by around 30% drop in their donations. So the idea of rolling out a new initiative like something like this, which is kind of a massive risk for a conservative large organization because you're putting their brand out there in a fresh new way like this, was sitting down with the COO, and suddenly it was like, sorry, Phil, we can't do this. And I'm just like, but God said. It didn't matter. Didn't ask what God I was talking about either. But like, it was like, felt, but this is God. And I mean, and I shared the other week about the ministry opportunity, which I felt was, and I had a vision for, and God was, and then suddenly for that to just be, have to actually give that up and go, there's stuff that happens in our life, right? That we don't understand, and we're going to have those whys, and we have to maybe come to terms with that. And that's why it's important to have great men and women of faith around us that have got our backs in that, but can also encourage and support and walk through those times when we start to ask questions. And you guys know my internal and personal struggle with George dying and coming to grips with that, when you kind of feel like, God, I thought you were going to heal the kid and he didn't get healed. How do I come to terms with that? I mean, you've got your stuff too, right? Please tell me I'm not alone in this room. All right, there's five of you that good. We'll hang out later. But there's times when that happens. So how do we get through those things? How do you deal with that? These are kind of like just some random thoughts I wrote down. So I hope you bear with me for a couple of minutes and then we're going to wrap this up. What I've found in this is that I have to be really careful in this and in the rollout of these things and starting for it to become very obvious that it's not going to actually happen according to the way I thought it was going to. I've got to be really careful that I don't impose my will onto God. That I'm not actually trying to impose or trying again, like I said before, to get God's will to conform to my will and what I want to actually have happen. I think it's actually possible at times. For some of you might think this is a cheap cop-out, but I believe it. I think it's possible at times that we can get our own desires and God's word confused in our minds. I mean, if I had to be honest with myself, I'm not going to go into all the situations because it's none of your business, but it's possible for me to want something so badly that I hear what I think is God's voice in that. And I'm guilty of that. As I said before, there's times when God said, but it's what Phil wants. And that's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. You see, sometimes my desire for something only allows me to hear part of what God is saying in the process. You say, and I know that some of my choices have consequences, just as your choices have consequences. And I think we've got to be really careful not to blame God for our own poor decision making or for us trying to impose our will on him. But you know what? The thing I love about this, in the times that that has happened, and in the times when it hasn't materialized like the way I thought it was, it's incredible that but by his grace and with his help, that we keep a soft heart towards God and not get resentful, not get bitter, not get hard-hearted about that or about the people in the process, but we keep a soft heart towards God. What can happen is I'm going off in this direction, as I said before, but if my heart is soft towards God and I'm desiring to hear from him and to be obedient to where he's taking me to be, that he has this incredible ability and way of being able to guide me back over to where I need to be. I love that about our God, that he is patient with us. He's slow to anger. If we're willing to actually own our stuff and actually go, God, it was more me than it was you. What about the second one? This is the hard one, I reckon, too. And that is that God's given every human being free will. And it means me, it includes you, it includes the people you care about, and it includes the people that are involved in the process of your desire coming to pass. So sometimes God's will is dependent on us human beings responding appropriately, and we can't control what other people do. And if somebody else makes a choice against God's will, God doesn't always stop that. But what we do know is that he's promised us that he will work that situation together for our good. Because at the end of the day, other people's choices do affect us, whether we like it or not. I mean, I know people, I've had conversations and I've walked through this with some people who really heard that they were called to marry a particular person. And these aren't kind of like fruitcake people, right? They're not just saying, oh, Jesus, tell me. They are dead set, grounded, founded, and they just like love Jesus. And they just got that sense that this is the person for me. And went through a whole bunch of reasons as to why and how they felt God confirmed that in different things. But we all know the reality of that situation is the other person needs to hear that too, right? And in two of these situations, the other person didn't hear that. So who was right and who was wrong? I'm not making a call on that. And eternity will tell, but can I just say, and I don't say this to, in eternity, it's not going to matter. But it matters now. And so I don't understand that, but we have to understand that when it comes to some of those desires or things that God has put in our heart to come to pass, it does actually require other people. And like I said last week, so for some of us in the room, you are an answer to somebody else's prayer. So it's not just all about you. If we're actually willing to listen and be others focused. You know when Jesus said, I have not seen great faith as this, he said that on two occasions. Do you know why Jesus responded like that? Because the people that came to him, the centurion and the Canaanite woman, guess what? They didn't come for themselves. They came to Jesus for someone else. And Jesus says to them, I have not seen such great faith. It wasn't for the people that came to get healing for themselves as much as they needed it. We've got to be others focused. It's about people. And so maybe for some of us, I'm not talking about that you're the bride or the groom for somebody else. I'm not saying that. Maybe you are. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be great. In Jesus' name, release that in Jesus' name. But maybe you are the answer to somebody else's prayer. Stop being so stubborn. Get over yourself. Be the answer to somebody's prayer. How cool is that? In the most random of ways. I remember sitting on the front row and this guy's preaching and I didn't like his preaching. He was annoying, to be honest. And all I could do was just look at his shoes. And he had shocking shoes on. Not only are you a bad preacher, but you got bad shoes. And I'm thinking, not that I'm a great preacher, but I'm just going, I'm not getting anything out of this. And then all I got was, blessed are the feet of him who bring good news. And he was bringing good news. I'm just going, that's a nice verse. And God goes, no, look at his shoes again. I don't want to look at his shoes. They're bad shoes. And then he says, no, I want you to buy the man's shoes. If you don't like them, do something about it. Buy him shoes. After the service, I said, excuse me, sir, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I just feel prompted. I want to buy you a pair of shoes. And he kind of smiled and he says, you know what? These are the only good shoes I've got. How to make a bloke feel bad. So I said, well, let's go shopping. We'd only just got married. And it's not that I forgot to tell Nat that I said this, but I forgot to tell Nat that I said this, but I take the bloke shopping. He doesn't buy the $50 or $100 shoes. He's gone straight to the $350 shoes. And I'm just gone, you can't say no, right? What are you supposed to say to the preacher? You always say, I want to buy your shoes. They go, oh, mate, as long as it's $69.95, we're right. I'm just going, oh, Jesus, help me. At least they were better shoes, right? What I'm saying is, like, I had to get over myself. And actually, God will do the most random, weird things in terms of being the answer to somebody else's prayer. The last one is just simply, spiritual maturity improves our ability to discern what God is really saying. This is a hard one for me that I learned, is that sometimes God will start with us wherever we're at in this room. He will speak to us in a way that we understand in a measure, give us directions that we can cope with now. And my hope and desire is that if you continue to attend here and get connected and plug in and grow, that in a 12 months time, you'll be hearing God differently, with greater clarity, more specific. You'll know His voice. He'll be speaking to you that you would have grown in such a way. But for where we're all at right now, wherever that may be, God might speak to us in this particular way, and we're holding on to that. But it's a way that God gets us moving. And as we start to move, and if we're willing to hold on to Him and learn about Him and come into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him, for me, it doesn't really matter about the outcome there. It's more about just being obedient in the process. That's for me. For me, I just want to please Him. I just want to be less of Phil, more of Jesus. What does that look like? And in my heart, I believe I'm going in this direction. For where I'm at in my life, you know what? If I don't end up over there, but in the process, because I've actually started to move, I'm heading what I think is in the right direction, God goes, oh, finally, Phil, we've got you moving. Now I can actually steer you to where I need to go, because a moving car is easier to steer than a stationary one. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is that spiritual maturity improves our ability to discern what God is really saying. So God can begin us on a pathway. He's not playing games with our lives, because every single time that this has happened in my life, the destination that I've ended up at has been better than the one that I thought I was going to end up at. Because that's just who He is. And so this process of maybe something not coming to pass is a reason to actually get us to where we really need to be. And we don't like that, because we don't like to be wrong. And, well, God said this, so therefore it must be that. Really? He is God, we are not. Are we willing just to hold on to Him and say, Father, I'm going to continue to walk in obedience. I'm going to continue to seek You. I'm going to continue to actually allow You to direct and guide my path. And where I end up, I believe I'm going there, but if I don't end up there, I'm trusting it's actually better than what I thought anyway. Imagine kind of like stress relief that would be in some of our lives, because we're so fixated on this particular outcome. And if God just goes, kid, just hold on, because I've got something much better for you. Because that's who our God is, right? That's who my God is. So if you don't believe it, I'm believing it for you. Because we've got a good, good Father. So there's some things that I've actually learned in the times that what I sensed and I really believed wholeheartedly that God had spoke and it didn't actually turn out. And can I just say, the stuff that I learned through that process with World Vision, the stuff that Sean learned through that process with World Vision, enabled him to function, and I'm not speaking out of turn here, but the role and functions that he has been in over the last 5 years have required him to go through an experience like that, which he's been able to leverage off in a totally different country, in a totally different company, to have a totally different sphere of influence. And we can both stand now and just go, yeah, I'm annoyed, and I'm sure it would have been a great profit-making venture for World Vision, but what we learned through that, God has been able to use for His kingdom, for His glory. You might not like that, but I'm okay with it. And that's all that matters, really. Because I have to sleep with me, not you. Okay. Right, we're done with that. Well, on your seat, you would have... got this. Did this last week. I can't remember whether it was Saturday night or Sunday morning. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What we're going to do in each of our services for the foreseeable future, I'm just really moved and challenged at the moment. And for Michael and myself, the conversations we've been having with our friends of over 10 years and the doors that God's opening up, we believe, for a harvest of souls through the life of this church. See, I love the fact we're growing, but I get kind of spiritually discontent when we're not seeing souls saved, when we're not seeing your friends, your family, this community, people that don't know Christ coming to know Christ. I just get uncomfortable with that. See, one of our benchmarks in this church is that at any time we want to have a church where 25% of our churches come to Christ in the last 18 months to 2 years. So as we grow, that's a big goal. It's a big, big benchmark. And so when we talk about our church growth strategy, I'm looking at it. It's you, it's me, it's us. And a lot of time, you know, churches might have 10 minutes on an offering. They might have 10 minutes or they might do whatever. We're going to take 3 minutes, 16 seconds to pray for the people that God has put in our world right now that need Jesus. And on this side, what you've got is a bunch of scriptures. You can put that person's name. I pray, Lord, that you would draw Jeff to yourself. I pray that Jeff would seek to know you. So you can pray through those scriptures. You can pray through that prayer list, strategic prayer focus, during this 3 minutes and 16 seconds. On the other side, you've got the word bless, which we're just using as an acronym for body, labor, emotions, social and spiritual. Love for us to pray blessing over our community, over this city. We want to just start speaking out words of life, that praying that, you know, the physical health within this city. We're believing, if you don't know this, we're believing over the next 5 and 10 years that the census statistics are going to change because God's moving in this city. See, I want tangible outcomes. I want measurable outcomes that God is moving in our city beyond the spiritual ones that we kind of like go by in the life of our church. I believe we're called to see our community, our city transformed. And there should be some measurable outcomes from that. Is anyone with me on that? Yes. Great. Good. And so I believe one of the ways we start to do that is we speak that out. We speak that which is not as if it were. We start by faith. We speak faith into our community. We speak blessing over this city. We speak blessing over people's body, over labor, over their businesses, over their incomes, over their emotions, over mental health, and all the other various aspects that that can entail, over the social, which is families, relationships. I'm believing that the suicide rate in our city is going to go down. I believe that mental health is going to go down. I believe that divorce is going to go down in this city because there's a church here that's praying blessing and reaching this community. Oh, I hope that gets you excited. Get on board. And finally, spiritual, last but not least. We just pray for a move of God in this city, that every man, woman, and child in this city would at least be given the opportunity to hear the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ so they can make an informed decision, that ignorance is no excuse. So we just pray that God would bless this city. So we've got a timer up on the screen. So you got your piece of paper. If you're visiting with us tonight, you can just use the next 3 minutes 16 to check Instagram or Facebook, or you can join in. It's up to you. We'd love for you to join in and pray, or if any of this is new to you, we'd love to chat to you afterwards just so I can explain a little bit more about what we mean by this stuff. Just going to give you 3 minutes and 16 seconds now just to start to pray for those people. If you love Jesus and you've got people in your world that need Jesus, just start to pray for them.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.